Here we go again. Welcome to Gem Hunt, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Totally awesome.
Tubular.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling about podcasting tonight?
Great.
Yeah.
Long
I'm
pause.
Excited to talk about stuff.
Oh, yeah, stuff. I forgot that the last time we podcasted, we said we were going to talk about movies and things.
Oop, things.
Yeah, so we'll have to think of some things to talk about at some point. So this is only episode 2. Nobody knows who we are.
Never.
Maybe we don't even know who we are, but regardless, we should introduce ourselves. My name is Cody. I own a fucking chainsaw.
I'm Beth. Another day, another 50 cents.
I'm Buggy, and this is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Oh, no. Damn it. Didn't know we were going to go out like this on episode 2.
I don't really know what that means. It's just the only thing I could think of, so...
She had to follow another
day. It sounds kind of like hard, though. Like, I could see someone saying that and then doing some crazy shit.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, this is just a reminder. We talked about this on the last podcast, but we have a kind of specific format here where we watch and review underseen, underrated, forgotten horror films and discuss whether each film is worthy of the title Hidden Gem. Our only criteria in selection really is 5,000 votes or less on IMDb. That's open to discussion. I think we might be able to get into that a little bit tonight. And in addition to voting on whether we enjoyed the film and ultimately bestowed it with a Hidden Gem Award or not, we do a little obscurity rating, and we broke this down in the first episode, and I'll post it on a website somewhere when we have a website. Turns out there's all this business shit you have to do when you launch a podcast, like get a website and get a podcast host and get your friend to design you a graphic and make a theme song, which I'm working on, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
We sort of have a website because this is an arm of the fabulous dirtdogcinema.com.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that it'll probably live there, and I think that makes the most sense. But we broke down the whole obscurity rating thing on the first episode. Basically, it's just IMDb votes, number of critic reviews on IMDb, number of critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, and the availability. So, you know, VHS only, DVD only, does it have a Blu-ray release and then only one streaming option or a million streaming options, and you get points based on that. And they're all weighted a little bit differently, but let's not belabor the point that we're here to talk about tonight, which is movies and maybe some things too. But one thing I did forget to talk about last episode, I forgot to cover how we were going to pick movies. And I had like this whole ceremony idea where I was going to do a rock, paper, scissors thing for who goes next. I picked the first movie because I am a rude man. But what happened behind the scenes here? How did you guys decide to pick what we're watching tonight?
Well, someone just said it was my turn. So I picked a movie.
The real boss of the house made the decision.
I'm having a hard time following the instructions.
And
working on it.
I didn't know what to do because I don't like finding obscure movies is intentionally difficult. But basically I just did the same thing Cody did, which is I went onto the advanced search on IMDb and then I just like shortened or like made my like pool of what I was looking at like more specific, like in terms of year. I think I did like in between the year like 1960 to 2010 to just start, and then I just like went until I found weird movies. But I actually didn't even find this movie on the advanced search. I found a bunch of movies that I was gonna pick, but then I watched this one randomly when I was like doing homework, and I was like, this movie's really weird. So I looked it up on IMDb.
So how did you find it?
Well, my favorite thing to do when I do my homework is go on like Shudder or something, and I just watch old movies because nice. They're like the perfect background music for me. And then I ended up just like getting distracted by this movie because it ended up being like so weird.
And she has failed out of school. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, and I actually failed school because of this movie. So, yeah. It was random.
I dig that. I dig the randomness because I feel like that's the best way to find movies, really. It's like when you start doing a bunch of research, I feel like I get nervous. I'm like, oh, I picked a bunch of movies based on this research, and now I don't know which one to pick. But sometimes it's fun to just find one and be like, this one. And I liked that because I had never heard of this movie. But before we get into it, we're supposed to be talking about movies and things. Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk about some stuff that we've seen lately and that we're going to see. Beth and I went and saw the TV Glow, which I realized I hate saying I saw the TV Glow. It's a very complicated
sentence. Saw that you saw I saw the TV Glow.
Yeah, indeed. I have a really real problem with the redundancy of words there. But regardless of the title, which I actually think is a cool title, despite the fact that I have a hard time saying it. Great, great movie. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't. I've seen like a bunch of people say like it really fucked them up. Which that always makes me think it's not going to fuck me up. That sounds really pretentious, but I just always expect too much then.
Just as usual, don't like get too deep in the hype because sometimes obviously that will fuck you up. But it was cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed a lot of things about it. I enjoyed that it did the sort of 90s nostalgia thing a little bit differently. You know, I'm kind of getting a little burnt out on the whole nostalgia trip, you know what I mean? It's like, how long is this going to go on for? And was this always the case? Was there always, like, nostalgia going on in films? Or is it kind of like a new wave?
I think, and it's just like, this is exactly our age target, because it's people our age that are probably, like, that have the resources to get movies made, usually. But yeah,
I think people are running out of ideas too.
I like that goth is back. I just punched the table and
girl,
I'm sorry that I got excited about goth being back. I mean, I know it never really went anywhere, but I do enjoy it as a thing the kids are into again. Because I think that is part of what the nostalgia is about, is also like the cycle we're in with, right? Don't you think so?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Because I think, again, people are just like running out of ideas, and also like,
black is back.
Those things are cool too. Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people like goth style. I know I do. I just like, unfortunately, like, don't really care about my appearance right now. Like, if I could live in a perfect world, I would dress like in probably like a Victorian nightgown all the time and
hell
wear crazy
yeah,
makeup.
Dude.
But
let's do
I
this.
Just don't have time. I do have time, but I don't do it.
It's the style report for the week.
Well, I also think this is just one little like opinion here. I think also like a lot of nostalgia is like being brought up because a lot of people keep talking about how like the time when they were 15 was like the best time.
And that's what I'm saying. And then that's who's making movies, right?
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of 70s nostalgia when we were, you know, I think it does happen that way. And I'm sure in the 70s there was some 50s shit because it was like, oh, everyone was tidy then or whatever. They were like, two-car garage ass, whatever, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although, the one thing, being a 90s kid, I feel like all the 90s nostalgia shit makes it look a lot cooler than it actually was.
That's true, and I also want to not... This movie, there was a lot more to it than that.
Oh, yeah, for
it
sure.
It rose above that 100%, and it was like a weird, different, cool thing, but it did have that as the like backdrop.
Yeah, for sure. But I recommend it. Very different, very interesting flow to the film. It approached narrative in a way that was interesting to me because I didn't quite know where it was going, but it didn't feel experimental or disjointed or confusing. Like, I felt like I was in the narrative, but I never quite understood where I was going in the narrative, which was really nice. So I was locked into it, but I didn't know what was coming or where it was taking me. And I felt like that was an interesting experience because I was a little bit out of my element, a little confused, but enjoying it. Where sometimes when movies do that, I get a little annoyed unless it's done really well.
And it was, and it was beautiful too. Oh, shit. Sorry, I'm bleeding.
We bleed here at Gem Hunt.
We weed raspberries and bleed.
We're going to see Basic Instinct this Friday at the Hollywood Theater for a queer horror event. It's been a while since we've been to queer horror, which is an amazing event. If you live in Portland, Oregon, go check it out. Have any of y'all seen this movie?
I have.
Nice. I purposely didn't, like, usually a lot of the time the three of us go, and I was like, that is a weird movie to watch.
No, it's...
With, not so much with your mom, but, like, with your stepdad.
Well, it's also, I don't know, like, I watched that movie actually with Granny, which I think is really funny, because oh, my grandma yeah. has a bunch of, like, old VHS tapes, like Fatal Attraction, and all those types of movies. So I definitely, like, probably randomly watched Basic Instinct, like, with my grandma when I was 10.
I don't think I've ever actually seen
That's the one with Sharon Stone, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And her bush.
Oh, I know all about that. Or probably not a bush.
I mean, I think I've seen, like, clips of it, but it came out in when I was at an age where I wasn't allowed to watch that kind of stuff. And then after the hype died down, it didn't seem like something I'd want to revisit, so I'm excited.
I'm not sure if it's a great movie or not. I do remember when I was a kid, I think I probably saw it right when it came out when I was too old or too young to see it. Well, I'm always too old. I was born old.
Born old.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah, I was Benjamin old man Button. Baby. But I also had this Mad Magazine that did sort of a comic strip spoof of Basic Instinct, and it was in the spoof. It was called Basically It Stinks. And
oh, that's funny. But, now you're talking my language.
That has stuck with me my entire life.
We should probably talk about the movie, but I also watched My Own Private Idaho last night, and I hadn't seen it in years, and that is a beautiful movie. Was that last night? Yeah.
That was last night.
I hadn't seen it since I was Buggy's age, probably, and I loved it then, but it was really, I got it a lot more this time. It was a great movie.
Hell yeah. So we're watching a movie. No, we're not. We are reviewing a movie.
We watched it already.
I watched it twice because I was vibing too hard, if you know what I mean, the night that we watched it. And I know there's like some Gen Triple Z term for people that use terms like vibe.
What is it?
It's like old people using young people terms that are like...
Do you have a word for that? I mean, I don't even like... I never say that's a vibe or I'm vibing.
No, I don't.
I only say it as a joke.
You should keep saying it. I mean, like, I don't... I mean,
bring
like...
it back for the
he
old
was
people.
Trying to
you're
say,
thinking like old head? Is that what you're
he
thinking?
He was trying to say he was cross-faded.
Oh, I thought you were...
He was crossed.
Well, that's fair.
Which is old people.
That's we just call it crossed too.
That's what I'm saying. I am doing that thing.
Oh,
that
okay. I was like, whoa, wait, guys. I don't think that's changed.
No, it was not a thing.
But anyway, since this was since this was your pick, do you want to announce the movie that we're reviewing tonight?
Oh my god. Okay, the movie honor. That I picked was called Fatal Games.
Woo!
And it is really weird, and the music is super strange also. Like, when Cody was watching it last night, I knew he was watching it because the music is memorable. It was released in 1984. I've never heard of this director before in my entire life. His name's Michael Elliott, which there's plenty Michael Elliotts. I'm sure there's another director named Michael Elliott. I don't know. And he also helped write it along with some other people. Can tell I've never had to introduce anything before. Woo!
He's one among many Michael Elliotts.
Yeah.
He's in a sea it's of like Michael Elliotts.
I've never heard of Michael Elliott either. And I'm not sure if anyone else has.
I don't think so. He's not really memorable, but this movie's good, Michael Elliott. So thanks for that, in a way, I guess. Should I talk about, like, just, like, a quick summary or, like, who the main characters are? I guess we'll just start with that.
Well, yeah, we could do that. Like, a couple other quick notes. So other than Michael Elliott. It was written by a couple other people called Raphael Bunuel. I'm not sure if I said that right. And then Christopher Mankiewicz. And interesting note about Christopher Mankiewicz, he plays the coach in the film, who at one point gives a really interesting speech about how everyone has to work harder. But as he's giving the speech, it kind of sounds like he's super bummed out that other people have to work harder. It's just like, you guys are just going to have to work harder.
In the nationals, winners from all over the country are going to be competing against you. That means you have to work twice as hard.
That was funny to me. The cast, I don't know. You know, I haven't heard of anybody in this movie. Sally Kirkland is the big star. She plays Diane, and we'll get into Diane. She is a Golden Globe winning actress. She won for the movie Anna in 1988. I've never seen that movie. I've never heard of that movie. She was also nominated for an Oscar for that film, but was beaten out by the one and only Cher.
Fucking snubbed, man. Yeah,
she was Cher. Also in a million other things. I looked through her filmography. I swear, at her peak, she was in like 7 or 8 movies every year.
I definitely recognized her from just, yeah, and I don't know exactly what, but because I forgot to look. But
and I got to say, she killed it. I thought she was really the best actress.
She definitely was.
Or actor in general in this film. I also wanted to call out the cinematographer because I thought some of the cinematography in this movie was really interesting. Not all of it. Some of it was pretty standard 80s slasher fare, but there was some really cool shots, so I was interested in who this dude was. His name's Alfred Taylor. Actually has a pretty interesting horror credits. Bloodbath, 1966. A film called Spider Baby, 1967, which if I recall, yeah.
This was actually the movie I wanted to pick, but it had too many votes.
Well, this is the point that I wanted to get at during this conversation. But just a couple other quick notes on this guy's filmography. He did a film called Mutant in 1984, which I've never heard of, but I am intrigued by, and I may or may not have added it to our potential future watch list. Mm-hmm. And then his last film credit of all time, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That's crazy, actually.
But I am, you know, when you brought up Spider Baby, this is a film I've never seen and hadn't heard of it until you mentioned it.
It's really weird.
It is only a smidge over our limit.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it should be more like if none of us have heard of it or, you know.
Yeah.
And it does have like
a little fudging.
That is really interesting, actually, because one of my favorite parts about Spider Baby is the cinematography. Yeah. It has like really interesting cuts and scenes that like I also have
this
not
movie
seen
did
people
too,
knew
which, I mean not before. I don't know, yeah, this one maybe wasn't groundbreaking because that was 1967.
No, that movie, yeah. You can tell like people like John Waters were
no,
really
I
inspired
think I've
by
heard
it
him talk about that
because
movie
it's a really
or,
weird
right? Is that where you heard
movie
about? I feel like maybe he wrote something about it.
No,
or
I just randomly picked that movie because the main girl in it's really cute,
I
and I wanted
like
to
I've
draw her.
I've heard John Waters or read John Waters say something about that movie. As
well, I can
a,
tell that yeah he took inspiration from that movie for Pink Flamingos, and I won't say anything else.
That's interesting.
Okay, we'll revisit that because I'm intrigued now. That'll be on the list for the future. And with that, I say let's get into a recap of this thing, or maybe not a recap. I'm not sure if this movie needs a full recap,
not
but
really
maybe just a quick overview of what the hell is this thing about? What happens? Yeah.
What's it about? Well,
what is it about?
It's aptly named Fatal Games because we're talking about games that are fatal. By that I mean these like, and also it's very vague, but it's like these, I guess, like high school at most, like college freshmen. These students, there's 7 that we like mainly focus on that are going to like this sports prep school basically to train for the Olympics.
It's called Falcon Academy. I looked that up. Falcon Academy.
Mm-hmm. And it's
name
a mm-hmm weird school. The staff is strange.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're basically just training to be in the Olympics. There's like 4 main characters there's Annie, and I think she's the final girl. Spoiler.
Yeah.
You can tell. Spoiler, not really, though.
No, she's the main.
Like, you can tell who's going to be the final girl in any 80s movie because it's the girl they focus the most on.
Oh, Gauntlet Throne. Yeah, you're probably right, though.
And then there's Lynn. Mm-hmm. And then the boys were very insignificant to me, but I think one of them is Phil. And the other one might be Frank.
And one of the, this is one little character note. There was another guy where I was like, what is that guy from? One of the male athletes. And he is from like the most kind of, well, I don't know. I love Twin Peaks, but he's from the like side plot where James goes on the motorcycle adventure. He's like Malcolm. Plot. Yeah, I know. I mean,
we don't need to get
but
into that.
That is, I was like, I know I've seen this guy and he's in something really weird that I've seen a lot of times. And that's what it was. He's the chauffeur / brother / husband or whatever the fuck in that weird James motorcycle trip. Anyway.
Well, besides that, and this is, the rest of the plot gets kind of convoluted or like, I don't even know. Like, they talk briefly about these like performance enhancing drugs that certain like Olympians to be are taking, but they don't really like go into it more than like, at least from what I remember, except for like the main physical therapist, Diane.
There's a doctor and a nurse who are like the team that are the training team for the athletes, and the doctor wants to pump them full of this stuff, and the nurse is reluctant.
Her name's Diane, so they have like and a like whole conversation about that. And then I don't remember like much else about that. I know they like mention it a couple of times, like just keep taking those drugs.
They make a big deal out of it.
Do they really?
Well, it's I feel like in the intro, it's like it seems like it's going to be like a key component.
Yeah, like someone's going to mutate,
and then it kind of really doesn't make a difference.
It makes a difference. It's a point of contention, but it's like no one acts like none of the students act crazy.
It may have something to do though when you think about what the actual killer is up to.
I guess. And
which
also,
we're going to not spoil, right?
It is even a red herring, too, I think.
Ish, yeah.
Because
yeah.
They do, like, a whole, like, emphasis on it, and then they also emphasize one character.
Yes.
I think maybe that's kind of the goal, is to be like, oh, this performing-enhancing drugs make people crazy.
Right. And then that person gets got. One thing is it definitely involves a javelin.
Yes.
And we made a like Chekhov's javelin joke because you do see it in a way that you're like, oh, somebody is going to get impaled.
Well, there's some crazy impale things. Like I have like never seen like someone get impaled. Like the first kill is like the most random, like quick murder I've ever seen. It was like when I saw that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the javelin knocks this person off her feet and like flies
it's
backwards.
Like crazy.
And it's like not even a physical possibility.
It's like
quite
so
effective.
Fast. It was awesome.
So is that basically like what I mean, it is a pretty standard slasher. It's like a number of people, they dwindle. Mm-hmm. You think it's one or the other, and then they keep kind of getting picked off. Yeah. It's that standard thing.
And they're just training to be in the Olympics. There's like the like semifinals and stuff where like the main like four are getting picked out. And that's kind of the plot.
There's a love story.
Yeah, but it's like...
Yeah, the love story. I feel like there's a couple love stories. There's like at least two couples that are sort of central, but it's not that dicey.
No.
It's not that big of a plot line. The one thing I noticed last night when I was rewatching this, they all have like serious issues with their parents that are like impacting.
Oh, no.
Not only their like experience at the academy, but like with their relationships
I think we talked about this the first time
too. They're all like, I can't make my dad mad.
It's like it's one of those facts. Like it's the adults versus the youth, like there's definitely that thread where like and then so therefore the doctor but more so the nurse are kind of like the one trusted adult kind of yes there was definitely like kids versus grown-ups.
And there, and also there's that weird conversation between the main girl, Annie, and her dad that's, like, such a weird scene because, I don't know, it's just they're walking super awkwardly and, like, there's really, like, supposed to be a big conflict, but there's really none at all. It's,
well,
like,
it's not her real
mild.
Dad. No, in real life, that's not her
well,
dad.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's an acting cap.
Next, you're going to tell me King Kong isn't real.
No. Yeah, it... Yeah, there. I forgot about that. We talked about that, though. There's, like, a grown-ups versus kids.
And then there's King definitely some, like, sapphic love stuff going on.
So that is my one like factoid that I found on just like on
IMDb.
This
is a low-key spoiler, but it's not ruining the plot for you.
Don't worry. I'm just going to say, so there is like a lesbian love affair sort of thing, but one of the actors in that duo, the film broke for like a Christmas hiatus, and that woman came back and said she had become a born-again Christian and could no longer kiss another woman on the lips on film. So just not film it. I don't know. Anyway.
No, they just thought that was interesting. Implied, basically, because they couldn't. Like, there's like one scene where they hold hands, like basically in front of everybody, and then that's like the only scene we really get, except for one other thing.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting.
So we get...
That's the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, so we're introduced to sports. It's a sports sports land, sports world here.
Saunas.
And then, yeah, there's a shit ton of nudity in this movie.
Oh, so much lots of boobs.
Very classic nudity. No dongs.
Butts?
No. Just
bush. There's bush, I think.
Yeah, there's bush. There's butts. There's male. I saw at least one male butt.
Really hairy male
dong.
Butt.
No dong, yeah.
But once we get into this thing, it really kind of, you know, gets into your standard slasher rhythm where it's sort of non-important dialogue broken up by kill scenes as the killer kind of like starts to knock off all of these top athletes. And that's an important point, I think, is that the killer is really targeting the seven athletes at this academy who have made the nationals and are shooting for the Olympics. And I think that is an important point because at the end, and we won't spoil it, it does kind of come into play. So just keep that in mind.
And yeah, and that's how the red herrings, I mean, that's how it's like, oh, it looks like it's this guy or that guy. Yeah. And it's the standard, like, you know, the killer is very kind of nondescript and in a black tracksuit and you can't make out any like physical characteristics. No. Or
it's like very intentional.
One other thing I want to say is that I did find it kind of really funny that these girls are gymnasts, knowing like what the body of a gymnast, and then we've just talked about boobs briefly. You cannot have tits and be a gymnast.
Like, oh, I beg to differ. You can.
Is that a new thing?
I mean, or do you mean like physically being that active makes you not have tits?
To be an Olympic, have you seen what Olympic gymnasts? I mean, now
ripped.
We got Simone Biles and
stuff.
Are you
body shaming?
I'm
women?
Not.
I'm
just
saying. Do you mean
the actual,
like they can't? Like they're not allowed?
No,
or
I'm
they're
saying
so
they have
buff.
No. They're so buff and they have so little body fat.
Well,
that they do not have TNA.
True.
It's
some
like,
of them have mad cake though.
And
that's
they're
really
usually,
gross to say, but I'm not.
They're usually short. Oh yes, that's true. But yeah. They're usually like 5 feet tall and like, you know, just solid muscle.
Yeah, no, usually people like gymnasts are especially buff. They like have like 3% body fat. That's definitely not.
Yeah, so there were like some really finely shaped boobs in this movie. That
they were real great. 10 out of 10 on the boob
scale. No, there
were
some good boobs. I mean, that is one thing. Just saying.
So there's a couple things that I want to note. We were talking about the performance-enhancing drugs or the steroids or whatever you want to call them and how it seemed like kind of a red herring. It kind of went nowhere, but it does kind of come back later in the film when the main character has like a drug breakdown in the middle of a potential kill scene. She's kind of being stalked in a very dimly lit locker room, and she kind of has this breakdown, and Diane and the coach come. Diane's the nurse, and she takes her back to her house to, you know, weather the storm as she goes through this, like, steroid incident. Diane also has another scene with this actress early in the film where it's a very invasive and kind of strange massage.
It is. And it, at first,
what do you think about
that? I wrote handsy in my notes.
Well,
yeah.
I saw that at first and I was like, whoa, wait, what's going on? And then like they didn't like elaborate on it at all. So I was like, is that just like a random scene that I was like not supposed to like think about too
right.
hard?
Is that just an 80s massage?
Because they emphasized it very much. Like it was like Diane like touched this Annie's butt butt. And then Annie like got up and was like, I have to go,
mm-hmm.
which like in retrospect also makes everything a lot weirder. Like all things considered, it's like super weird representation.
Yeah, there's just, yeah, I mean, that's it, right? Slasher, 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 weird stuff.
And I mean, I think we should talk about the ending.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Like, not, like, probably... like, spoiler-free as best as we can, but it would be, like, pretty weird to not, like, mention that the ending and, like, the kind of, like, themes have to do with, like, oh, that is, like, it's such a spoiler, though. Like, I don't know how to, like, say this without it being a spoiler. Help me out, guys.
Well, I mean, it doesn't, we don't have to say what character's involved in it. And it's just, basically, there's some very outdated and offensive man-woman gender athlete kind of shit that
related
is kind of
to, like,
topical.
Trans people in sports.
Yes, that is sort of, like, this is a fucking, you know...
It's basically, it's like an advertisement for current conservative.
That's what I was going to say. It's like
political viewpoints about what happens when people decide to shift their genders to what makes them feel comfortable.
Or why they would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
the motivation behind it. That's really like what's problematic.
Like they would love to take a clip from this and make it a documentary ad. Like, this is what's going to happen to your children when they're trying to compete against other girls. Or yes, so there is that.
It is interesting. I haven't seen like a lot of like 80s movies like discuss anything like this, except movies like Sleepaway Camp, really.
And the one that we watched last
last week did it much better.
Yeah, we were talking about how that was
different.
Yeah, just in case you didn't listen to the first episode, which nobody did because no one's listened to either of these, but we watched a little movie called Heart of Midnight with Jennifer Jason Leigh, which was great. And there was a very interesting kind of exploration of gender that concluded that film. This movie had another kind of exploration of gender at the climax that was handled much worse.
Poorly.
Yeah,
but,
it was
and
not
you could feel
great.
That through that whole movie. This versus that in terms of, you know, the whole time there was kind of a feminist bent to that, the other one.
Yeah, this feels more malicious, I have to say. Like, this one is, like, a little bit more, like, I would say, like, damning.
A little gross.
Or, like, in some way, like, misrepresenting, I'd say.
Totally. Of like, a fear. I mean, like I've said, I think it would be a very great documentary for, like, fucking conservatives to be.
They
like,
probably play them at their banquets and they're like, this is actually
this
a true
happen.
Story.
Yeah,
this is a documentary about what happened at Eagle Falcon
headlines.
University.
This was a documentary. Okay. This is based on a true story.
I feel like maybe we got a little convoluted in the describing, but that's sort of how the movie was, right?
Yeah,
it was one of those like.
Yeah, I think we got the gist. Yeah, I mean, it's basically we're at a sports academy. There are some athletes that are succeeding. They're also being tainted with these performance enhancing drugs for kind of no reason. And then a killer with a javelin starts methodically hunting them down.
And there's some good
great
javelin
aim.
Yeah,
they
I
really
wanted to talk
aim.
About a couple things that I liked about this movie. I will say that it kind of dragged a bit in between the kill sequences.
Yeah.
But when someone is being stalked by the javelin tosser, they were really interesting looking, really shot well with this cool blue tint. And I think the first time you're introduced to the killer, you get this amazing shot of the killer in this hooded tracksuit, all kind of completely dark, like a silhouette with this very cool blue halo behind them. Really amazing shot. Some of the other lighting and interesting components to some of these kill sequences, there's just sort of these like stark, sort of standard colored scenery or rooms, black and white kind of rooms where there's a lot of like stark blue draped on characters, whether it's a towel, and then the lighting also kind of plays off that. So I thought the cinematography during the kill sequences was really pretty interesting. Some of them dragged on a bit, but ultimately I thought that was one of the high points. I also wanted to talk about the amazing opening theme song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, right off the bat, it just breaks into like, boom, 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 boom. And you just get like this classic meathead rock fist pumping anthem that you've heard so many times over like any kind of action montage, specifically the kind of montage where you're like working out or getting ready for something. But it felt like a joke, but it wasn't. Like, I don't think it was supposed to be a joke, but it seemed like something you would see on South Park or some shit, you know? But it is kind of catchy. And I gotta say, it kind of grew on me. Yeah, I kind of like it. The soundtrack was done by a dude named Shuki Levy, who did a lot of kids' soundtracks, actually, but kind of like all over the map. He did a lot of sound work. But I wanted to bring this one line up that I noted in the theme song, and it's, winning isn't everything. Winning is the only thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
What do you think about that line? Because to me, that's kind of the same thing. Like, if winning was everything, it's kind of the only thing. Like, I don't know. Is this like some just like super deep mind-blowing line or just
yeah,
like
I
a
think
super
it's like
cheese ball?
It's like an awesome cheese ball line. Like, yeah. It's like one of those like awesome, like terrible lines where you're like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, that makes no sense, and you're fucking right, man. Yeah. It's the only thing.
Yeah.
No, the soundtrack's, like, super funny. There's, like, a bunch of, like, weird songs, especially, like, when the killer comes on, mm-hmm. where, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's, like, someone's in a waterbed. Like, I don't know how to explain this. It's, like, drum sets are in a waterbed, like, a weird, like, I don't know. That's how
oh,
I pictured
no, yeah.
it.
I noted that, too. It's almost... It's less of a soundtrack and more of just like kind of some buzzing noises.
Right.
Very synth heavy. Very, I don't know. It's very like, it is a contrast to some of the other music throughout the film, which almost feels like after school special / softcore porn or
Seriously.
Something. And then when the killer comes up, it's just like.
Like literally like that.
Yeah,
and it
sure.
makes me laugh a lot. I liked it.
I thought I wrote something. All I wrote was intense synth. I thought I had like a better.
No, but that is true. It yeah, has it like intense. A very intense, weird like soundtrack that I kind of like a lot. It's memorable.
For a movie that wasn't. I mean.
Well, in terms of the slasher subgenre, I would say that Fatal Games isn't too bad.
No, it's fine.
I think depending on your affinity for slashers, if you're a hardcore slasher film, you might have fun with this one.
Fan,
you know, like
hardcore slasher fan.
Oh yeah.
If you yourself are a hardcore slasher,
this might be
film.
Your mother,
actually,
or your father.
Maybe do a DNA
test.
Your
father.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I
it's
should
fine.
Do a DNA.
They can
test.
Back up. It's fine.
Yeah, we could back up. Let me try that one again. If it sounds funny, I'll keep it in. if you're a hardcore slasher fan, this might be a real fun movie, especially if you haven't heard of it and you're on a search for a slasher film that you've never seen. But I think if you're not a fan of slashers, you might be a little bit miserable because I don't think there's a lot going on other than the slasher components, which are decent, but not mind-blowing. Oh. But, like, you know, if we're just, like, if you're just in it and you're watching the film, it's a good time. But I think, ultimately, on the level of slasher, I would say pretty decent. But that was the question I wanted to ask you guys. When it comes to slashers, where do you guys land? How do you even feel about the subgenre?
I love slasher films. I think they're fun. I also like the corner, the better for me. Like, I would say probably my first introduction to like slasher films I mean, I watched Halloween before. I watched Friday the 13th, but I feel like Friday the 13th is like, Halloween's like just like a really like...
There's more going on in Halloween.
And it's like scary. Like that's like one of my favorite like horror movies ever. It's like really like still, there's like scenes in that movie that make me uncomfortable, but also because once again, like I also think too. Like what we watch when we're young really shapes like what kind of movies we're going to like. But I love like cheesy 80s. I love, like, the boobs randomly everywhere. I love, like, the terrible lines, the weird, like, random, like, music sequences where people are, like, running in a field or, like, playing volleyball. I love that shit. I'm, like, either I want, like, the worst, corniest, so bad it's good type of movie, or I want something that's actually going to freak me the fuck out. There's no in-between for me.
I like that. That's a good way to live.
I have a low threshold for slashers.
I love them. They're so bad. They're
great. To me, it just depends. And it needs to be corny. You're right. But I don't want to watch a bunch in a row because I get really tired of just watching hot girls take off their shirts and get murdered.
They all
there
get
is like
murked.
A point where I'm like, all right.
At least with these ones, like it doesn't like
one at a time. No marathon.
They anymore. Also look goofy. I like it does get kind of depressing to just watch girls get killed for
and
basically being
away.
Promiscuous. But there's such corny scenes
I know,
that I
know.
Like can't
the
actually
more ridiculous
feel bad.
It is, the more I feel okay about it. But when they get like more realistic, I'm not.
Oh, that's the type of movies I don't like is yeah. when it's like, hey, do you want to watch like basically a snuff film, but it's not.
It's not fun.
But that's just me.
Although, obviously,
no
we all love
here.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
But that's not really a snuff film. That's like yeah. a movie.
It's not, but
that's
it is
not even,
running.
You know, I think there would be an argument to be
it's
made that that's not a slasher either.
No, it's not,
either.
But it is no. like women almost getting away. And one, you know, one does, obviously. But
awesome
like
movie.
People almost getting away and then being like, ah.
No, like the scene, not the first like kill scene is like, again, one of the like weirdly most terrifying scenes I've ever seen because it's so quick.
Yeah.
And weird.
It's scary.
And that's what I love. I love when things don't slow everything down, but they like make it quick because mm-hmm. that's like really, I feel like how it happens is it's like quick and it's scary yeah. and it's freaky.
The one thing about this film is that even though the kill scenes were pretty well done, there wasn't a lot of tension or anxiety around them. They were just kind of like, okay, we know it's going to happen. The cinematography looks cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know who's next?
The,
they're going to get it.
They're yeah, going to get impaled.
The mm-hmm. final impalement is ultimately pretty well done and pretty effective, but you don't really get any kind of like scare factor no. out of any of those in this film. Whereas, you know, I feel like the big classics are able to do that pretty well.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, you know, in terms of new slashers, there's not a lot that I've been a huge fan of. Like,
no,
I was
neither.
Going back through my list, you know, like Black Christmas, I would say, kind of like a proto-slasher.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of my favorite films of all time. Halloween, My Bloody Valentine, The Burning, Just Before Dawn, Curtains, some of these, like, older, like, borderline hidden gem slashers. There's so much going on beyond just, like, the slashing.
No, there's a bunch of weird
there's
scenes
characters.
And interesting
mm-hmm.
things yeah. going on in a lot of those movies.
They're funny. A lot of them have, like, little
yeah.
funny moments.
And then, like, and the new ones coming out, like, Tarot, which I've heard is bad. I'm still going to watch it. They're still following the same format. It's just, it's new. So, yeah.
I do want to talk about the opening of Fatal Games really quickly because I feel like it's set a tone that it didn't live up to where it was very funny, like almost like 80s gag comedy. There was like a very funny food fight.
Oh,
and
the
this,
food fight. Yeah.
yeah.
Weird food fight.
And there was, I don't know if you guys caught this, maybe even some foreshadowing during the food fight where, you know, it starts with like little marshmallows and then somebody starts tossing a hot dog. Hot dog just like lands in a girl's lap.
Oh my god.
Yes, okay.
But
and
then there's this very funny kind of dinner scene where they're trying to make it classy, but they're just serving hot dogs and they don't have napkins. One of the athletes goes to the bathroom and just gets a roll of paper towels. And then the kind of climax of that opening scene is just this insanely ridiculous tug of war over the bathroom paper towels.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which wouldn't have even been possible. You know, that thing would have ripped immediately. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it set this tone where I was like, this is going to be hilarious. This movie's going to be a comedy. It didn't really live up to that opening comedy sequence, but it started out with a bang in terms of the antics and the comedy, I thought.
Yeah. No, then it just became like boring. But also I was still like, you know what? I'm going to see this through.
Yeah.
Keep
you going.
And again, like the kills were cool. Like that, I was like, I want to see who's killing people. Also, like at least it kept me interested. I was like, I want to know who's doing this because I was wrong about who I thought it was.
It's true. It kept it till the end,
but I felt very unfulfilled.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to explain it. I felt like I watched a movie, but like not exactly. I don't know. I liked it, though.
You watched a series of kills.
I watched, like, yeah, I watched, like, basically people, like, kind of talk and try to make a plot go.
I wrote a couple of, like, funny lines of dialogue down, but now when I look at them, they're not funny. Like, you know how usually these movies have, like, oh, that's fucking funny.
You didn't think it was funny when the guy was looking for his, like, athletic shorts and his girlfriend said, did you check in the refrigerator under the cheese?
that was such a weird scene where it was supposed
to
be.
Okay, that's funny.
Look how in love they are. They're so in love.
I noted that because.
No, that whole thing was weird, but I did not.
Say that? I'm going to start. I'm going to adopt that into my regular vocabulary.
Yeah, like if anything's missing.
100%.
All right.
So let's do some business. First up. What's the obscurity score on this some bitch?
We've got to calculate.
All right, I'm going to do some calculations here. Votes on IMDb, 1,300. IMDb critics, 33. Rotten Tomatoes critics,
none.
One.
Oh,
there's
really?
One.
There's one?
And here's
no
the
way.
Here's the interesting thing about this. So I was expecting zero, but there was one, and I was like, oh, what the hell is this? And I clicked on it. And it didn't even link to a website. It just linked to, like, an image of a newspaper spread. I've never seen such a thing. It was kind of amazing.
Weird.
You should check it out. Click on the
That's
one.
That's so interesting.
This is what makes it worth it.
The one critic review on Rotten Tomatoes just opens up, like,
it's a physical review.
Image shot of a newspaper or a magazine.
That reviewed it, huh?
Yeah. But there's one that counts.
That does count.
VHS only. Nope. DVD only. No, this does have a Blu-ray release by Vinegar Syndrome, who does a really good job of releasing some of these old obscure films and special editions, which once they're gone, they're really hard to find. Believe me, I've looked for some, and I don't want to spend $100 on a goddamn movie on eBay. It's only streaming three places, so all in all, this gets an obscurity rating of 6 points. 6 out of 10. So not bad. I would say,
more than half.
Yeah, more than half. And I had never heard of this movie before. So
me neither.
Good
I, like,
pick. I would
randomly
say,
watched it and I was like, shit, actually, this is pretty weird. And then I decided to pick it because of like how little votes it had. I was like, well, okay, this seems like the obvious choice.
Yeah, definitely a good pick for a random underseen film. Now, the real order of the day. Let's vote on this thing. And how did you guys like how we did it last time, where it was either a one or a zero in the air, kind of on the count of three?
One is gem, zero is not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like that, or
should we do it some
other way? Okay.
I mean, I don't think any of us are influenced by what the other one says at this point, but yeah.
Okay. Let's do this on the count of three. A one or a zero in the air, if we think it's a gem or not. 3, 2, 1. Let the record show that we have one.
I said yes.
One
vote.
And I love this so much. And this is something that we were going to have to confront at some point. So if the majority of the hosts vote yes, it's a gem. If there's an outlier, not a gem. However, I think this is a great one because I would say This isn't the alternative of a gem, which would be a turd. I would say this. There's something to this movie.
It's a half gem.
It's fine.
It's like, yeah. I wanted to do like half of a finger because here's what I think, honestly. I think there are, like, if you like weird 80s horror movies, you need to check it out.
And you haven't seen it. It's like, here's one for you.
And it's super like strange. And it has like, again, like if you're the type of person that likes that shit, you're going to be like, this is fucking weird and funny. But if you're just a person who wants to be scared or like genuinely be like, that was a quality movie, you're not gonna like this movie. You're not gonna think it's a gem.
Yeah, definitely for a niche audience. But like I was saying earlier, if you're a slasher fan, you haven't seen this, you're probably gonna have fun with it if you're in the right mindset. If you're feeling impatient, maybe not, because it does drag at points. But I do think there was a lot to like about this movie.
Yeah, there's even just though, some fun stuff.
Yeah, even though it's not a gem, I would say I'm not going to give it a complete thumbs down.
No, but it's not great. Like, it's still a shit movie. It's just like, I had a really good time watching
and that's
it.
What the, I mean,
and it's problematic, like every 80s movie ever.
It is, yes. True. So watch it to see how it's problematic.
Yeah, because that's also like, I did not expect that. Like, let me tell you, it was probably like 3 a.m. and I was like in my bed and I went out loud, no way.
Yeah.
Because I just like was like, there's no way they did that. That's so, it was
crazy. It's problematic.
It was. It was.
So if you're a like Republican congressman from Alabama,
movie,
you will find something for you.
Yeah, I saw one film review that said, this film has one of the most jaw-dropping twist endings in all of slasher movie history. And
no.
I was like, nah, dog,
that's
I don't
know
not, about that.
That's not true. But it was definitely, it just came out of left field where like they had been building it up and it made sense when it happened. But then I was like, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Okay.
That's a movie.
That's a
movie. Okay.
That's
so
a turd.
We got one vote out of three on this motherfucker. Beth is up next. So
she is. She has to pick a movie.
We'll be back in a couple weeks or whenever. Who knows? We haven't released any of these yet. So, you know, by the time you've heard the third episode, you might be binging them already. But her pick's next. Thanks for hanging with us. You guys got any closing words?
We're going to fight on the next one. No,
love
I'm
you.
Kidding. Love you. Love you.
I'm going to pee my pants.
Okay. That's my thought.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt.